The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 13th chapter. At that very hour, some Pharisees came and said to Jesus, "Get away from here, for Herod wants to kill you." And he said to them, "Go and tell that fox, 'Behold, I cast out demons and perform cures today and tomorrow, and the third day I finish my course. Nevertheless, I must go on my way today and tomorrow and the day following, for it cannot be that a prophet should perish away from Jerusalem. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to it, how often would I have gathered your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you would not. Behold, your house is forsaken. And I tell you, you will not see me until you say, 'Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.'" This is the gospel of the Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. We're all familiar with this verse. We know it as the gospel in a nutshell. It's Jesus' own brief and clear summary of God working to redeem the world. Our text this morning provides us with what might be described as the history of God and his people in a nutshell. Once again, in Jesus' own words, "How often would I have gathered your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you would not? How often would I have gathered your children together, and you would not?" Jesus directs this lament to Jerusalem, the place where the Lord had made his name to dwell, the place where he had graciously made himself available to his people. Jerusalem was the place where he gathered them together to be cleansed and redeemed through the sacrificial system, gathered them to be forgiven. It was there that he spoke to his people through prophets, called them to come to him in repentance and faith, assuring them of his love and faithfulness. Today's lesson from Jeremiah records a representative example of the Lord working to gather his people to himself through a prophet. Jeremiah called them to repent, lest they experience the Lord's fierce anger, destruction of the city and exile in a foreign land. But they were incredulous that Jeremiah would speak such a word to them. This was the Lord's house. They were the Lord's people. How dare he speak thus against the Lord? He deserved to die. The Lord would have gathered them together, but they would not. They refused. And that pattern was repeated again and again and again. It was so ingrained that Jesus dismissed any threat to his life from Herod. "Don't you know," he asked the Pharisees, who by that point had been plotting to get rid of him for the better part of a year, "don't you know that it's in Jerusalem that prophets meet their end? The lion of the tribe of Judah had nothing to fear from that scrawny fox, Herod Antipas." Jesus had things to do. He would continue to cast out demons and heal sick people. Only on the third day, could he have been thinking perhaps about his own resurrection on the third day? Only on the third day would his work be brought to completion. But this lament of Jesus isn't only about the Jewish people of his day. Today, Jesus would gather you and me. Would you be gathered? The track record isn't promising. Jesus says, honor your parents and those with authority over you. And you and I say, what are those fools in Washington doing? Don't they know there's more to their job than scoring political points and working to get reelected? Jesus says, you shall not murder. But that doesn't keep you from wishing bodily harm on the person who cut you off in traffic, or who hurt one whom you love, or who angered or frustrated you in some other way. Jesus says you shall not commit adultery. Live a sexually pure and decent life. It's so much more inviting, though, to follow the world's call to do whatever makes you happy, to indulge yourself and not worry about the fact that God says sex is his gift to be shared in marriage and nowhere else. Jesus says you shall not steal. How easy it is, though, to rationalize why just that little bit will never be missed, or everyone does it, or others are so much worse than I am, and on and on. It's certainly not a comfortable commandment to remember as you're filling out your taxes, is it? Jesus says you shall not give false testimony. Protect and defend your neighbor's reputation. Don't you find it all too easy, though, to interpret what someone has said or done in the worst possible way and to talk with other people about it? How much less would you say if you didn't speak unless what you had to say was true and necessary and loving? Jesus says you shall not covet. Are you content with what God has given you? Or do you find yourself unhappy, always yearning for things you can't get, never satisfied? Jesus would have you trust in him to provide you with all that you need, to look to him in any trouble, to be grateful to him for the things that you have, and when things go well for you, and to rest content and secure in his promises. In short, to have no other God besides him. Any sin against any of the commandments ultimately says, I don't fear, love, and trust you above everything else, God. What I want is more important to me than what you want. And so you and I push Jesus away, would not be gathered. What Jesus said of Jerusalem, he could say to you and me individually. Hear your own name where Jesus says Jerusalem. Oh, John, John, how often would I have gathered you as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you would not. It's all too true. You would not. But don't overlook what the one who speaks this lament does. Again and again and again, down through the centuries, Jerusalem had rejected his attempts to gather them through the prophets, even killing and stoning his messengers. But that didn't stop him. Even knowing Jerusalem's murderous character, Jesus goes on to Jerusalem. Still he would come to them. Still he would gather them. Not many days after our text, some of Jerusalem's children, some even of the Pharisees, would say of him, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. By their faith, which prompted this confession, they would see him for who he was, the Lord's Messiah, their promised Savior. Many more in Jerusalem did not receive him, though, refused to bless him as the one who came in the name of the Lord. It's not necessarily that their eyes didn't see the man Jesus as he rode humbly into Jerusalem on a lowly donkey. What they refused to perceive, what they would not acknowledge, is that Jesus is the Lord's Messiah. Those who refused to believe did not see him. And they will not see him until the day when they will join all who are in heaven and on earth and under the earth in bowing their knees and confessing, in their case to their eternal sorrow, that Jesus Christ is the Lord. But it will be too late for that then. They will have already been judged. It isn't too late, though, for you and for me. Now is the favorable time, St. Paul writes. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Again today, Jesus would gather his people through his word to shelter them as a hen shelters her brood under her wings. That's a wonderful picture of redemption. Pastor Petzold from Good Shepherd of the Deaf Lutheran Church in Toledo mentioned that one of his relatives had seen something like that on his own farm. There had been a fire that had destroyed some of the buildings. As this relative was picking through the rubble, he came upon the remains of a chicken that had perished in the fire. He sadly pushed it aside with his foot, and out from under that dead hen ran a number of her chicks. She had gathered them under her wings to protect them. And though she had died, in her death she had preserved their lives. That's what Jesus, your Savior, was going to Jerusalem to do. To die, so that because of his death, you and I could live. Jesus would gather you to shelter you under his wings. If you would be gathered, you will not be forsaken, but will see him. Think of when it is that you say, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." Each time you sing these words, with their equivalent in other settings of the divine service, you are indeed about to see him again. When you have sung these words, he comes to you in his true body and blood, comes to gather you to himself, comes to join himself to you in your eating and drinking. In the supper, he comes to you in the name of the Lord, comes to you with forgiveness and healing, comes to you to strengthen you and shelter you, comes to you to give you his salvation. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, who would not be diverted from his saving work, who finished his course on the third day in Jerusalem, who now lives and reigns over all things for the benefit of his church. And blessed are you when he comes to you and gathers you. Amen. Please rise. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord, to life everlasting. Amen.